I want to share a few things today with you. I think around last week, Wednesday or so, the Lord started mentioning certain things to me. And one of them was that there will be a mighty turnaround in 2020. Amen. That people will experience unusual breakthroughs. Surprising ones that you yourself will be surprised. But the part of the things he was mentioning to me was also that those blessings can be destroyed or can be hindered by certain little things. And so I want to mention those little things, and I'll come to a big one later on. The Bible says in Songs of Solomon, Joshua, thank you very much. You can still play for me. Joshua, you're a great evangelist. You know that. The Lord will use you very greatly. Very greatly. The Bible says that be careful of little foxes that spoil the vine. Little foxes that spoil the vine. Some of the most dangerous sins are little small things that we don't even realize that they are sins. Are you here? Little small things, but they have the ability to undermine us. And once the Lord was telling me these things, I was kind of imagining that most of the time, pastors, teachers, and prof, when they are teaching and so forth, they don't seem to teach people most of the time what undermines the blessings of God? What are the most dangerous things? So they'll speak about blessings and all of that, but they don't reveal to us or to the hearers that there are certain things that if we engage in and we do, will totally destroy us. Okay, so there are little things. So the Lord was telling me, and I have to examine myself concerning all of these things. And one of the ways is this. If you want to know God, okay, one of the ways to know God is this. Whenever God exhibits an action on any issue, okay, it's a sign of the mind and the will of God. Okay, so when you see God, somebody do something, God reacts a certain way. It's a manifestation of God's mind and will on that issue. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you don't understand, raise your hands. Yes, okay. So I'll give you an example. When God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, God is revealing his will towards homosexuality. You understand? It tells you that forever and ever, in the eyes of God, homosexuality is an abomination to him. It doesn't matter what you say or you think. But Christians will come to a place where they think society has become so dynamic. So it is okay. I hope you understand. So anytime you see God exhibit a behavior towards something is the manifestation of the mind and the will of God towards that thing. Are you understanding that? Okay. So I give you a few little sins like that. So for instance, Moses. Moses had two siblings, Aaron, Miriam, and then Moses. Moses was the youngest of them. But Moses was the leader that God had chosen. No God can decide to choose anybody. Harold has got five sons. God can decide to choose the youngest one to be the greatest among them. You can't argue with that. That is God's mind, okay? So God chose Moses. And then Moses, as time was going on, by the way, Miriam was a prophetess. And then Aaron was a high priest. They were also serious ministers of God. And then Moses married a certain woman. She married a woman whom he is not supposed to marry. So the two siblings, Aaron and her, attacked Moses. They attacked Moses and said, Moses, and I'm sure that because they are elderly, what, siblings, they went and said, Moses, what's wrong with you? You think you are the leader of the group, so you can do what you want. You know you shouldn't marry this woman. She married outside Israel, basically. She went to marry somebody. She went to marry a black. What is really? It's in the scriptures. Which you shouldn't. So they were speaking against Moses, say accusations. Then while they were doing that, God came down and told Miriam and Aaron, what are you doing? Are you not afraid to accuse Moses? Somebody I talked to face to face. You should be afraid. But you see, I'm like, you have to look picture. They are elderly siblings. God said they shouldn't do that. Are you getting me? So if you look at naturally, it doesn't seem that they have a right to go and speak against Moses. So God said, you shouldn't do that. And then Miriam had what? Leprosy and so forth. God then is revealing his mind that if you don't speak against authority, it's quiet here. When God says, if that authority sins, it's a matter between him and who? God. So, for instance, you may be here and then you accuse what? You speak against. The word is what? Against. Against spiritual authority. Against your parents. You bring a curse of God upon yourself. You do. I'm just revealing to you some of the things that destroy our lives. So, Aaron, I've got your story. You are Aaron. Nathaniel. Okay, sorry. You all look alike. You're like your mother. Your mother's gene is strong. So, Nathaniel, you and your brothers meet in your room and start speaking against your parents. Do you know it will bring a curse upon you? You must learn these things fast. You should never speak so. Or you this, my father is this. You know. You speak against. It is dangerous. You can't decide what, because you see, Miriam had leprosy, but Aaron, nothing what? There's a reason why I don't want to go into why Aaron, nothing necessarily happened to him. So at times, you and I will do the same thing. Something will happen to you, nothing will happen to me, and you don't understand why. But the key is this. You must know the mind of God, that God does not like speaking against authority. You cannot go and be insulting Boris Johnson. You can speak against certain policies, but you can't insult him. When you insult, you are insulting God. And God hates it. I'm telling you things that you should not do. Because next year will be fantastic. But if you do certain things, you know, nobody is more legalistic than Satan. He's the most legalistic and he's always looking for opportunity to attack you. Speaking against pastor, you sit there on your coffee table, you make Pastor John the what? The subject. And the one loving you, praying for you, are speaking against me. Do you know the effects of such things? But at times we do it not necessarily even with malice. I'm not sure that Miriam, they're doing it with what? Malice. So God revealed his mind. I'll give you another, I'm giving you little things. One day God told Adam and Eve, do not drink this paradise. Just don't drink this. You can have it, but don't drink this one. Don't touch it. Then Satan comes to them and said, I have a better alternative. God is hide. I can make you better than what God is saying. So you eat, you drink this thing. Something very small, fruit. It looks very what? Small. They ate it. And then we know what happened. God revealed his will, his mind, that if he says don't do something, you do it. The judgment of what comes. Are you here? So little things that at times we do that we think doesn't matter, really does what? In the economy of God, it matters what? A lot. There are plenty of examples, little things. One day, I'll come to the main. King David woke up. Now, David too is very close to God. So he decided, I will count my soldiers. Nobody ever was able to defeat David. He was so powerful. Nobody could defeat David. So he decided one day after he's become king, look at me, I've conquered everywhere. Let me count my soldiers. And somebody advised him, no, don't do that. All the victories you've won, it is God. It's not the amount of soldiers you have or the armory you have. David said, no, shut up. You should have told this. chief of army. Started counting the people. And God said, ah. And then God started plaguing the people. Not David, though, the people. That also tells you, especially those of us in authority, pastors and parents as well, you do certain things that are wrong. At times, the judgment comes upon what? Your children. It doesn't come upon you. I'm showing you this because people don't tell you this, but there are serious issues. Little foxes, that spoil what? The vine. They seem very small. They don't seem very big. You know, most. Do you know what the big sin in Christendom is? Hello? Big sin. That people really, you have really sinned. What is it? Oh, are you talking to me? Sorry? Fornication, sexual sins. Going to sleep with somebody. That is what believers usually believe is what? Is sin. So the other things, people don't see it as what? As sins. Let me give you another example. One day, two twins. One of them went to work. When he came home, he was very hungry. And his brother was doing some nice rice and beans. So he told his brother, I'm very hungry. Can I have some of your food? And his brother was very what? Smart. I don't know. That is when you have knowledge and you've become very smart. His brother knew that there's a certain blessing called the firstborn word blessing. So when his brother asked him for the food, he said, okay, if you're hungry and you are dying, I'll give you the food. But you must sell me your birthright. Give me your birthright. And then you can have the rice and beans. His brother thought it was what? It was just mere what? Words. It doesn't matter. So, okay, you can have my birthright. I'm hungry. You're talking about birthright. Bring me the food, the Chinese. Let me just eat. What he did not realize, that years down the line, that was his what? A curse that he lost his what? Just by simple, I'm just saying that simple things at a time we do not know have got what? Implications. When God reveals his action towards those things, it's a sign to you and me that God doesn't like this. Don't do it. Are you hearing me? Because I don't want you to, as God is blessing us, to lose those blessings and those blessings become what? A curse upon us. Amen. So, I'll give you one more. Can I give you one more? Then I'll carry on. Another one is those who forget. People who have helped you in your life, and then you forget them because you have now become a big gun. So let's say, I know some of the youngest. Okay. Let's say you mentor, let's say Catherine, you really mentor them. You help her really in life. Now she has become big. So she'll say, who is Nicola? Leave me alone. She'll not even bother calling you or anything. When you forget people, who God used in your life to be where you are, and you kind of slate them, you put yourself into another world, precarious. That you don't realize things are happening in your life. You don't understand what is going on. You should never, because the Bible even says in Hebrews, God is not unrighteous to forget your good works. So that should tell you, God, all the good works you do in the name of Christ, he never forgets it. That's why he visits it on your children with blessing and favor and all kind of things. So in the same way, we become unrighteous when we forget the good works of people who have been a blessing to us. Like all my children, I think all the three of them, if I'm wrong, correct me. Sister, what's her name? Campbell and Sister Janet. My sister played a major role in your world. Child, what is your God again? Child care. She wasn't taking pay from us. And she helped us a lot. And then you and us as parents, now we are somebody, we forget her and don't mention her. When you are celebrating all your birthday, she's the first person you should invite. Yeah. She did more child care than even your grandparents. Oh, yes. So you cannot neglect people. Like, if you do that, and the person says, these people are ungrateful. you come and that's something you don't want to. These things are very serious things, I'm telling you. I pray that it doesn't go here and go out of here, but they do stay with you. Little foxes that spoil the vine. Don't minimize them. God's attitude hasn't changed towards anything God reveals his mind. He hasn't. It won't change. Are you here? By the way, those of you who want to see, turn around. I will encourage you to pray a lot with Psalm 126, at least 1 to 5. Pray a lot, any opportunity you get. It says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Israel, Zion, we were like them that word, dream. God is going to bring us some serious turnarounds, massive turnarounds. Amen? Good. If you don't like where you are, what do? Confront it and change it. True or not true? Whatever you are comfortable with has a right to remain. What I don't like about my life, I should attack it. But as long as I'm okay with it and I acclimatize myself to it, so shall it be forever. It will never go. It won't go. What you don't like, confront it and fight it. Ask God to help you. And please, don't blame the devil. What did I tell your neighbor? Don't blame the devil. We blame the devil too much for our own mistakes. I'm sure at times the devil himself gets stressed from our complaint that God, he goes to God. You know, the devil is able to go to God. How? I don't know. And say, God, they're accusing me of things I haven't done. Can you remind them it's their own what? It's their own actions. Are you here? What you don't like, confront. So, for instance, God wants to do turnarounds in different aspects of our lives. Pray Psalm 126, every opportunity. The life groups, the life group leaders, spend 15, 20 minutes praying with any time you meet. Pray into that. Going into the new year and in January, pray a lot you into that. I really encourage you. Because you see, everything that God wants to do, you need to give birth to it, what? Through prayers. God has said it, but it needs to be given to him. Okay. Go with me to 2 Timothy. Give a little bit of volume. Are you tired? Give me a little bit of volume on that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Who wants to be great here? Look, you really want to be great. Okay. I want to. And it's a good thing to aspire to be great in the context of whatever God has ordained for you to be great in or with. I want to help us how to become great, one of the major ways to become great in the kingdom of God. One of the greatest ways or easiest way to become great in the kingdom of God. I believe people are supposed to be pace setters in this church. People are supposed to be trailblazers, etc. I mean, world champions. But in the kingdom of God and through God's way. So, but there's a major key how to become that. I pray that you and I will get it. Whilst I was preparing, like I told you from Wednesday, and I was preparing, I have to do a lot of repentance myself. Plenty, I'm telling you. You got to say, you feel like vomiting. As I teach you, you understand. You feel like, whoa, God have mercy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God. All scripture. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. All scripture. Say all scripture. All scripture. Not some of it. All of it. Is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. I'm giving this as a foundation that the scriptures are giving to us for certain things. Okay. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And I'm going to read verses 1 and 2 and verse 4 to 8. 1 Samuel chapter 2. I'm laying this foundation, then we will talk about the key to greatness. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices or exalts in Jehovah. My horn is exalted in Jehovah. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies. Because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy as Jehovah, for there is none beside you, neither is there any rock like our God." So, we know Hannah. Hannah was a second wife to a man called Elkanah. And for years, Hannah has not been able to give birth. So, I mean, she was a favorite, but still nothing was working for her. So one day she prayed very, very, very hard. She really prayed and asked the Lord to give her a son. And if God gives her that son, he will give the son back to God. So anyway, God gives her what? Samuel. When Samuel was born, this is the song of Hannah, okay, singing to God. That's why she praises God for it. Then go to verse 4. "The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry have ceased to hunger. Yea, the barren have borne seven, and she that had many children languishes. Jehovah killeth and makes alive. He brings down to hell and he brings up. Jehovah makes poor and he makes rich. He brings low and he also lifts up. He raises up the poor out of the dust, to lift up the needy from the dunghill, to make them sit with princes and inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are Jehovah's, and he has set the world upon them." So Hannah, after this experience, acknowledges that God has power to make the person. He said it's because her rival, the other wife, used to make fun of her all the time. She had a few children. So when they meet, you can imagine how she was taunting Hannah. And Hannah is saying here that the person who used to do that, now God has what? Reversed what? The situation. The big people there, he has put down. The small people, God has what? Put up. And so there's one place where he said that, "Therefore, do not boast." Okay, I want to talk to you today that the greatest key, the mightiest key Jesus gave to us to be great in the kingdom of God is the force of humility. And I'll talk about what is the opposite of humility? Pride. So I'll talk interchangeably between these two. Humility and pride. And I tell you, and please, as I'm preaching, don't say in your head, "I wish so-and-so was here." I'm warning you. Because as I was preparing me myself for the examination, I said, "Oh, gee. Ah, this seems to me, oh, Lord." I'm telling you. Don't say, "I wish so-and-so." Huh? Lee, don't say, "I wish Leslie was here." It has nothing to do with Leslie. It has everything to do with you. Because most of the time, we have people come to church, "I wish so-and-so was here. I wish so-and-so was here." So, let's talk about humility. Matthew chapter 18, verse 3 and 4. By the way, pride, it's a human phenomenon that affects everybody in the whole world. Nobody is exempt from it. Matthew 18, verse 3 and 4. This is Jesus speaking. "Truly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as what? Little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven or God." Unless you become what? like little children. You cannot enter the kingdom. Then he goes on to say, verse 4. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of God. Therefore, whoever humbles himself or herself is the greatest in the kingdom of God. Not in the kingdom of the world, but in God's eye, the greatest person is the humblest person. Do you know that Moses, the Bible described Moses as the most humble person when he lived on earth? No wonder God spoke to him face to face. God did not speak to him in dreams or preaching or anything direct. We see a few things. And because pride is such a human phenomenon, it's a human thing, and we know that pride, where did it come from? By the way, what is pride? When I say pride, think of always what? The opposite. One of the ways I try to understand something is to look at the opposite. You know that you, the teachers, you know that when you do contrast and compare. Okay, so we are talking pride, but I'm actually talking about what? Humility. You understand? So what pride is, if you do the opposite, then you are walking in what? Humility. What is pride? I'm sure everybody here knows pride. We don't have to define it. One of the definitions of pride is, in the Akan language or the Ghanaian language, one of the ways to understand pride is, it says, lifting yourself. And it has got the way, it makes your chest, you feel, I mean, as I'm saying, some of you even feel some things, puffed up. Yeah. Puffed up, you know, like that animal when he wants to, then he does himself big. Pride is arrogance, self-importance, a superiority complex. I was praying for Boris Johnson that pride does not come in, because pride goeth before. Nobody has achieved it. Look at what I have done. Then you know you are definitely going down. Do you know that the true test of a person's life is when they become what? Successful. Right now, we can't tell it's difficult. It's when you get certain powers, then to show what is actually what? Inside of you. Pride is an unreasonable feeling of superiority as to regards one's talent, one's beauty, one's wealth, one's rank, and so forth. A disdainful behavior or treatment towards others. It means to be haughty, conceit, braggadocious. I like one definition here. High tide. High tide. That's when you with pride. Do you know what? Do you know the first sin? Pride. So that tells you the serious. That is why God said the greatest is what? The opposite. Satan in heaven decided one day, me too, I am so pretty. Pastor John should let me preach. Why is he the one always preaching? Who is he? Me too, I want to preach. I'm more powerful than him. Then, you know, people do it in church. So they gather people around them. Talk to people and get their own group. To overthrow the pastor. Or to split the church. It happens all the time. As I tell you, me and my wife fight? Pride. You learn everything. Why do husbands and wives fight? Pride. Why do people fight in church? Pride. Why do siblings don't talk? Pride. Why are nations fighting? Pride. Everything is rooted in what? Pride. That's why the greatest is humility. We are going to learn about the humble king. Philippians chapter 2. That he humbled himself and became a man. Who he was God. And took on the form of man. humbled himself to God, submitted himself to God, and died that ignoble death on the cross. Wherefore, God has highly... Humility is the key to greatness. It is the doorway through which you become what? Great. Haughtiness. I'm going to show where the signs, where at times pride comes from. Satan said, I also will be like God. I will exalt my throne. I will. You see the I wills. I will. Even when we are talking about people sitting here, you sit over there and say, come here. I won't come. Why should I come? What's the problem? It's pride. But you see, you don't even realize what? It is pride. If you go to places, if you ask your child, sit here, don't you expect the child to sit there? You go anywhere and they ask you, this is the order. You do it. So why? But you don't even realize that it is what? Pride. You don't even, look, you at times is very, one of the most dangerous things at times to discern is pride. That's why I said, when God was examining me, you check this, you check every part. Wow, this is pride. It is so difficult to detect at times when it is in operation. Some of it is blatant. Some of it is not what? Blatant. If I have time, I've got so much. I'm not sure whether I will finish today or not. Pride is like sandpaper. You know sandpaper? How many of you know sandpaper? Do you know that when somebody is exhibiting pride, you feel what? Oh, it's like true or not true. Pride makes you want to always have the last say. You must win every argument. Pride makes you allude to your title. I'm the pastor. I'm the husband. Shut up. I'm your father. Shut up. You know, all of those things is pride. Who are you to talk to me like that? West Indians don't marry Africans. Africans, you know, West Indians, you know. You know what I'm talking about. You don't marry white. You don't marry this. Where is those things coming from? Pride. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you. Oh, I feel something. I'm telling you. If you humble yourself, you become great. Nathaniel, you are hearing me. Humility is the key to God's favor upon a man and a woman. Pride. It is so subtle. You want your way. Somebody wrote something. Never fight for yourself. Do all your fight in your prayers. So you will kill somebody. Never fight back. Just leave it. Do all your fighting in your secret place. You are insulting me. I won't insult you, but just leave it. I let God defend me. Don't defend yourself. You think God cannot defend you proper? You think God cannot protect you if you commit yourself to God? The Bible says Jesus committed himself to what? God. He did not commit himself to man. Because the man who says he's protecting you today, tomorrow, and will disappoint you. He committed himself to the person who was able to save him and to deliver him. The sad thing is that pride, you see, one of the things is that pride at times is exhibited out of fear and insecurities. That is the most, you see, if I'm insecure, I can exhibit pride. You know, a lot of people, their behavior that is prideful is a facade of fears, insecurities, and so forth. Why do you have to drive a Mercedes-Benz? Oh, are you quiet here? So that you too, you know that, yeah, me too. You want to, why do you want to be like the Joneses? Why do you have to have that house? Because that house is covering up for your own security. That house will give you a sense of what? Worth. You drive a car you cannot afford. Are you here? You go and live in a house you cannot what? Pay the money. One man, Oh, Lord, have mercy. He had money. Instead of using the money wisely, I'm not mentioning anything. It's not here, but they use a lot of the money. You sell your house. Instead of investing the money wisely for your children and for different people's sake, you use the money, goes and rents a house that is paying huge sums and in a posh place. I'm tired of places like Lambeth and this place. I want to also, you know, this is quiet and nice. All the money within a year and a half. The wife told him, don't do the money, don't use. He went and all the money is gone. Now the family is suffering now. Pride. Pride goeth before. Pride, you want to make you, yeah, when you, maybe here you don't see it a lot because here in Europe and in Asia, people are not so much into dressing and all of that. We are not into, but in Africa, in African churches, you do this hairstyle. You've done this hairstyle. I will show you. So next week, they don't have money. They have to go and borrow money or sleep around to go and do that hairstyle to show that they're to the other. I'm telling you. Dress and buy things that they cannot afford on store cards. Pride. That it's insecurity that is causing what? That exhibition of pride. That is, so at, when you examine yourself, when even pastors, we go and people are talking about churches, you know, how many members? You say, I don't want to talk about that. Because when they ask you, I say, pastor, how many people do you have? People are talking 2,000, 5,000, 10,000, 50. You see, so no. Pride, it is pride. I'm telling you, it is pride. Why do you want the church to grow? So that you two to be said that you are organ now. It's pride to examine and clear all this filthiness from our heart. Yes. Not because you want to really see souls. You find pastors. We built and we bought this without any, what do you call it, without any debt. Complete. What for? Why did they talk about we bought this big building and this? It is pride. Who are you turning that to? Bible says, then don't let the rich man boast in his riches, neither the strong man in his strength. But let him who boasteth in this, that he knoweth me, and I the Lord, I love righteousness and justice. For in these things I delight him. We boast. Do you know why we have insecurities? Fears. Everybody is getting me too. I have to get one. Who told you go and buy a leather seat of £10,000? Just go to Red Cross. I go to Red Cross. I don't care what you think. Because I am who I am. It's not what I drive or what I sit in that makes me who I am. But pride is destroying a lot of people. And I'm going to show you the attitude of God towards pride. That is the worst part of it. Pride. Me, when I die, make sure my funeral, the casket is silver. You are dead and gone. Even in your death, you want to show pride. Dress me in this and that. Look, you don't understand. When a person is dead, they are dead. They are finished. You shouldn't make all this noise and waste of money on them. Look, when I die, don't waste any money. Give to the children. I'm serious. What for? This event, 1 year event, 2 years. What for? What are you troubling us? The person is dead and gone to wherever they're gone. How do we make all this hassle for? We don't understand even their pride. Especially the Africans. Are you here? Pride. You find even races talk about each other. You know, Ghanaians talk about Nigerians. Nigerians talk about Ghanaians. You know what somebody said? Do you know what the Nigerians think about the Ghanaians? You, the Ghanaians here. So somebody had to ask, what do you think about the Ghanaians? So someone, the Ghanaians, they are poor and proud. That's what the Nigerians think. That's what they think of the Ghanaians. Yeah, poor but very proud. Pride. You find the person, but they are proud. So he's puffed up. He hasn't got nothing.
Pride, somebody will make you, a person will demonstrate pride because they are afraid of rejection. So before you reject them, they'll put up a front. Let me give you some of the, if you are very argumentative, very combative, very belligerent, they are pride, they are signs of pride. They say, sit here, you want to argue. Belligerent, stubborn, unyielding. You know it's pride? Oh, are you here? You're going home. God said this is wrong. No, I don't think it's wrong. This one, we need to look into it. Yesterday, we were talking about something. Shaheem, you remember? I was saying that, for instance, God has blessed the Jews. And so if you curse the Jews, you will be cursed. People were fighting with me. Instead of just saying, look, is that what God said? Case closed. Because to you, it doesn't make logical sense. Why should God single a particular people and say they are blessed? Are you God? I will show you very soon in Rome and say, who are you, oh man, mortal man, to talk against God who created everything in his mind? By the way, if you hate the Jews, you will come under a curse. You better believe. I don't care what you think. So, by the Palestinians, you see what Jerry Corbyn did? You see what happened, humiliation that's happened to him? It's one of the cause of his downfall. I was going to vote for him, but two things. I know, because he was going to no more school fees for my children. I've got two. The school fees, they were not going to cancel. I said, oh, that's a good one. When he said he's going to cancel that, that's why I'll vote for him. It was self-interest, isn't it? But then when he said, yeah, he's a father. He just dishing out everything to everybody, to the entitlement age group. Everything free. Take the rich and give to the poor. But then when he said he's going to stop faith schools, I said, this man, this man, faith schools, what does it got to do with anything? People have got, say, Christians or Muslims have got their own money to start their schools. You want to stop it? What for? That is madness. This man is not correct. Two was the anti-Semitic what? Sentiments that he wasn't coming down strong. I say, if I vote for him, I'm not sure whether I will join the case. So that one, I have to be careful. I'm not joking. So my wife said we should vote tactically and leave them some this and that. And then I was so tired I couldn't even go and vote. I couldn't want to get up. Pride. At times, you know, at times, for instance, even dressing is pride that can make people dress the way they dress to cover up. A lot of people's pride is pretense, you know that. It's a kind of, and at times people are even shy and you think they are what? They show pride. You see, pride comes in so many little things. Why is this person talking to me like that? You wouldn't say, but you say it in your head. Doesn't he know I'm older than him? Are you here? If the Bible says pride goeth before a fall, maybe I better give you the time is up. I've not even said, I'm just scratching the surface, you know. And I'm telling you, I have to be on my knees and be repenting. And I say, God, I feel like vomiting. Oh, Lord, purge me by the any vestiges of pride in me. Uproot it. Curse it from me. I pray, oh God, I pray, God, please don't let this to me. Anything that you see. And I give my children permission, you know. When you see pride in daddy, come and tell daddy. Amen. And the two leaders here, not the rest of you. Just. Aaron and Kamala, you are free to tell me. And my wife and children. So I say, it's pride. Yes, I will repent if I go and God tell me. It's pride. God, forgive me. Amen. A humble person behaves like a child. They find their only identity in Christ and in nothing else. If I have time, I'll show you. Look. Some people let their achievement give them pride. You know, achievement can give a lot of pride.
My son had 7 A stars.
By the way, there's positive pride and negative. I'm not talking about this. So if you do very well, like where is he now? Joshua. Why has he disappeared? Oh, I can be proud in him, the way he's working and bringing souls to Christ. Those are positive. I'm not talking about the positive ones, the negative ones. Anytime you come to church, you make sure you bring waitress back to show that you alone, you shop in waitress so that we realize that you're a waitress. It will surprise you the things people do. You've achieved. Thank God you have achieved. But you should realize that I'll tell you that whatever you have is a gift from God. Whatever I am, it's a gift. It's God's mercies. He said, John the Baptist, one day people were leaving his church and going to Jesus' church. They were leaving him. His church was dwindling. And the people came, "Hey, John, your church is going down. The anointing is going." People are not. He said, "What's the big deal? He must increase and I must decrease. Because a man has nothing except it be given to him from above." The apostle Paul said, "I am what I am by the grace of God." Look, God looks favorably. Maybe let me quickly give you the biblical. Let me jump, and give you some Bible examples of God's attitude towards us because of time. I just give you some examples of God's disposition towards pride, positive and negative. So number one, I give you is Nebuchadnezzar. How many of you know the story of Nebuchadnezzar? Maybe Daniel chapter 4, you can find it there, Malachi. Yeah, or Skojo is doing it. Okay. Nebuchadnezzar, one day, God had warned him, said, "Nebuchadnezzar, you are who you are. This is even an unbeliever, because I, God, have made you great and the ruler of the whole world." One day, Nebuchadnezzar, for some reason, a year after he was told this, not to do that, he gets up, stand in his balcony. Have you seen the Buckingham Palace? You know that. And say, "Wow, see what God has done through me." God said, "Hey, this is even an unbeliever. And God said, I will show you that you did not do it. I gave it to you." Immediately, the man became an animal for 7 years. They have to tie him, the king. His senses became, his claws, he grew like a werewolf. 7 years. So that's God's first sign towards pride. This is a man God elevated, but at the same time, this same God. Another one was Herod. Herod was one day, Herod could speak his oratory. My goodness. When he talks, you know that a man is talking. So one day he came and he gave a speech, and all the people, "Oh, this is a God. This is a God." God said, "Hey, so now you're a God and you are accepting it. I will show you that you are not a God." Bible says immediately worms came and ate him up while he was standing there. Are you here? Another one was Rehoboam. Rehoboam was the son of Solomon. I'm giving you examples of how God can bless you, and at the same time, because of lack of humility, everything can be taken away from you. Rehoboam was the son of Solomon. So when his father died, he was supposed to become king. So he was going to be made king. And then he was advised by the elders. Say the elders. They say, "You know, your father, the way he taxed the people and reduced the tax. Your father taxed the people too much to build all these big, 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 big things. Just make the life of the people what? Easy. We advise you, because we've been hearing complaints and murmuring and all of that. So take it easy." Then his young buddies. It depends who you surround yourself with. He had people, young people of his what? Age group. They came to him, "Don't mind those people. Tell the people that you made them suffer more. You will double the punishment." So he calls all the elders of Israel, all the tribes, and said, "Hey, now I'm the next king. My father gave you water. Me, I will give you whiskey. I will make your life very what?
I will tax you double. You know what the people said? Ah, you are coming to tax us. Oh, Israel, to your tents. We won't serve you anymore. That is when the kingdom split into two. Bam! 2 years, 10 years. Because of his pride. You know, people have used pride to destroy their own business. If I won't have it, you won't have it. Husbands and wife. If I won't have this, you too will not have your peace. You will fight. And that's what happened. Another guy was Uzziah. His story is very sad. Uzziah, I wish one day I'll have time to... Uzziah was one of the greatest kings. He achieved so much. He was so powerful. Read about him in 2 Chronicles 25 and 26. Then one day, he decided that because God has made me so great and so powerful, I want to be a preacher. I want to become a priest. Very smart, you know. He decided he wants to just go and give incense to God, sacrifice. That's all. But he's not supposed to do that because he's not what? A priest. But because he's the king. And look, if you read his achievement, it's unbelievable. I can be more than even David. Very powerful. So he decided, and people were trying to stop him. He said, shut up. If you're not careful, I'll send the soldiers and sort you out. So immediately he started to offer the incense. The Bible says leprosy hits him. Bam. He was driven away. And he died in his leprosy. He wasn't even buried among the kings because of his leprosy. Great king. God is revealing. God is the one who gave him power to become great. But at the same time, when pride came in God, so when I was reading all of this, you think, what was I doing? I was examining God. God, please, please, please. Because at times we don't even know, unless you let God search you, that there's a lot of it inside of you. Another one was King Saul. Let me just read Saul's one to you. It's very sad. Saul. Look at what Saul said about himself. And Saul answered, 1 Samuel chapter 9, 21. 1 Samuel 9, 21. My time is up. Can I have 10? We're supposed to have communion. Let me finish this teaching. It's important. I feel so. Is that okay, Harold? And the Lord... Saul answered and said, am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore do you speak to me so? Now, he was told that he's going to be king, and he said, who am I? I'm Sister Janet. I don't have any. I'm so small. Why are you saying that I'm going to be king? I'm nobody. Look at my family. So, in the beginning, he recognized that he was what? Small and nothing. Afterwards, when God asked him to go, either he's been made king, he's gone win one or two wars, then God told him, look, one of the wars, do this, kill everybody, don't leave this. I want you to destroy everything. He, in his mind, that's what I'm saying, since our times are so subtle, don't think like human, think like God. Be biblically thinking when you are walking in your Christian life. So he goes, kills everybody, leaves the king, and leaves the big, big sheep, cows, to go and sacrifice to God, or not to the devil, to God. But God had told him, do not do that. So, but this guy was small in his own eyes. So look at what happened. In chapter 15, after that incident, Samuel comes to him. Chapter 15, verse 16 and 17. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. God said, someone said, last night God told me something. Say on. Verse 17. Samuel said, although you were once, this is the New Living, the NIV. Although you were once small in your own eyes, like we've read, he was very small, humble in his own eyes. Did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? God said, didn't I make you the tribes, the head, when you were very small in your own eyes and anointed you king over Israel? So why is it now, if you read on, you are disobeying me. From today going, I have taken the kingdom from you. I have found somebody whose heart is better. Very sad. So, even when God makes us great, that's why Christians can be elevated, then you see them what? Plummet. I don't want us plummeting. And especially you, the young ones. Humility must be your backbone of life. No devil, no person can stop your breakthrough. Nobody can. If you have it, if God is on your side. But then if you are not careful and God elevates you, and you don't have these qualities in you, you can be sure you are coming. It has happened. We've seen it in all over the world. From Margaret Thatcher to whoever. When you see Margaret Thatcher, one of the greatest leaders, if you see her end, if you watch the documentary, it's very sad. The way she was weeping. Her own people who were hailing her. Because she's become so stubborn, she will not listen to what? Anybody. Are you here? There's kings upon kings. Let me end. I think at another time I will teach this again. Let's look at three scriptures, and then I will come to the positive people who walk humbly with God, and we will close. James chapter 4, verse 6, and 1 Peter 5, 5. James 4, 6. 1 Peter 5, 5. It says this. But God gives more grace. Say, more grace. I need more grace in my life. But God tells you the kind of person God gives grace. Maybe, Kojo, let's go to 6, please. It's 5, because it's not clear. Verse 5. Do you think the scripture says with that reason that he jealously longs for the spirit he has caused us to dwell in? Okay, verse 6, please. But God gives more grace. That is why the scripture says God opposes what? The proud. But he gives favor to the humble. Tina, what we need is favor. When God says, Tina, I favored you. The way you would dance. Nobody can stop it. So if I want favor, it is predicated on what? Humility. Because if you like, if you go home, go and look at the Greek word opposes. That when the Bible says God opposes the proud, go and check it out. It's a very military war-like term that God fights against people who are proud. He fights against you. So if your mother says, Nathaniel, can you go and wash the dishes? Don't say, but it's not my turn. It's a... Did your mother tell you whose turn it is? She just says, oh, mommy, it's not my turn. But if you say so, no problem. That is humility. That's what will make you great. That's what will make you favored by your mother. Yeah, because when she says you obeyed, you didn't fight. Hello? Then 1 Peter 5, 5. Let's look at it quickly. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. Have you seen that? All of us should clothe ourselves with what? Humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. And if I tell you this, what God says, don't fight it. Don't say my circumstance is so special. Don't those kind of little things that Christians do. Hello? You are a leader. We are all supposed to meet. You alone, you decide, I'm not coming. So you are so special. You want to show you are strong. It's gone quiet here now. But you think nothing of it. Do you know it's pride? Oh, leaders, I'm not hearing amen. It means that God is doing surgery on you. It is pride. So it is pride that makes you want to have an independent, self-contained spirit. If husbands and wives will walk in humility, the home will be so fantastic. What fight for? One day there was some money matter. My wife had to give me, let's say, 2. I say, let me say 150. I just, why you are giving me? I've reduced the thing. No argument. No fight. Case closed. Are you here? Don't fight unnecessarily. Don't fight in the departments. Don't fight in the sound. Don't fight in the worship. It's no need. If they say put this here to be nice, put it there. Why should you fight? And it leads to all kinds of curses, all kinds of things. You want your children blessed in your home. There shouldn't be contentions in the home. You know that. There must be peace. And the only way to get peace is humility. Because humility makes you what? Submit. Humility makes you what? Yield. It doesn't mean you are weak. It's one of the most powerful forces.
Who was more submissive than Jesus? But he's the greatest. Father, what do you want? Okay, this is what you want. No problem. Not my will, yours be done. It means that Jesus had his own what? Will that he would have done what he wanted. But he was what? Subject. And he, in what? What's the word even they use? There's a certain English word. He was predisposed to what? To defer to the will of the Father. And God looked at him. Wherefore, I will highly and give you a name. So God can decide, Harold, you are so humble. Pastor John, I've been oppressing you. And I'm going to elevate you. And the whole world will see you. As for Pastor John, only Lambeth will know him. You know, God can. God will do that. He doesn't need my permission to do that. If we want God's favor and blessing upon our lives, I want it. I pray. In fact, I pray, Lord, humility. But I didn't know there were a lot of pride operating that you thought you were okay. I say, oh, Lord, please, please, curse it in the root. Put it from the very soul of my. I don't want this any form of pride. Somebody come and give you feedback and you get touchy. You know, touchy. Hello? The one the pastor is preaching, he's preaching against me. If the thing convicts you, God, repent. I say, thank you, Jesus. Help me. Yes. But your pride will make you, in fact, one of the most serious signs of pride is when you say, I know, but I still do what I want to do. That's a dangerous one. Forgive. Walk in love. In the family. You will say no. What you don't realize is this. That no opens a door for demons to jump into the house and the relationship and create chaos. Are we here? So let me give you examples of some of the greatest guys in the Bible. Joseph was a classic example. Joseph was one of the great humble people on earth that ever lived. His brothers sold him. His brothers... thank you, Lord. By the way, let me tell you something. And this for... At times you want to know whether I say... Okay. For instance, let's take black people. Say black because I'm black. Am I black or not? I can talk about that. You find blacks always asking for reparations. Do you know what reparation is? That because of the slave trade. The slave trade. Are you here? The governments of America or Britain should give them billions of money. Okay. What they don't talk about is that we the blacks, were the ones who sold our own people. We are the first people to do the reparations. But they don't say that. I'm telling you the truth. Yeah. If somebody comes and tell me and my wife, we are suffering financially. If you give us Catrell, we will solve all your financial problems, 20 million forever. And we decide to give Catrell to the person. Whose fault is it? It was us who sold our own brothers. And we need to repent. To the Caribbean black, American black, the African ones must do a conference and repent and stop all this nonsense of reparations. Maybe you don't have the revelation yet. It's called, if your father sinned and now you are suffering, you repent for the sins of your fathers because I wasn't forced to go and capture Harold and sell him. I did it because I was greedy for what? Gain. If you decide to give your own child away because of greed, and then something is happening, now you are blaming the person who bought it. You can't blame the person who bought it. The person is now what? A slave to him, so he can do with us whatever he wants. That's what happened. Have you ever thought of that before? You haven't. There were 42 forts and castles for slave trade in West Africa. Do you know how many was in Ghana? 36. for selling slaves. There's a, I wish I can tell you history. There's a place in Ghana, I wonder if you go, it's called Osu. It's where some of the Ghans are. They mix a lot with the whites, so you find they are quite light skin. That place, yes, that place, a lot of the slaves were flowing there. There were families that made so much money out of the slave trade. Today, if you go to those houses, they are empty and haunted. Nobody goes there because you don't go that house because of the slaves crying out for their brothers selling them. Yes, I'm can tell you it's true. A friend of mine was telling me from there. He was telling me his mother used to tell him, don't pass through here. Always pass because here there are spirits. This is talking about 300 years ago. You can't blame somebody else for when you are culpable to what you have done. But we don't think about some of. I just decided to add that one so that it makes us think. The church will organize repentance for all the people who were taken into slavery. Out of every six slaves, one died. And they say they were about what? Is it 10 or 20 million slaves? So multiply it and see how many people died at that time because of greed. Now, some of the families, there's one family. The father was so wealthy through the slaves that after he died, the people decided, and he had a god that he used. They decided to take the god and go and throw the god into the sea. They didn't want it anymore. While they were taking the god to throw into the sea, the person carrying it, his right arm like this, came off. And then what happened was, when they threw the god in the sea, they still did. When they came back, the god was there, sitting there. He said, hey, you ungrateful people. After I made this family rich, now you want to get rid of me. You will see. Up to today, all the men have get stroke and their right hand gets like that. All on their right side. The children are suffering because the fathers. And I'm saying that to say this. Unless we choose humility. So when God says something is wrong, please don't fight with God and use your logical mind, please, I beg you. And find. And by the way, one of the signs of pride is this. Chichi is talking about, let's say, medicine, about how the body works. And Sister Jenna, you're arguing with her. You know it's pride. She's knowledgeable and you don't know anything. I tell you, find people arguing about things that they have what? No knowledge about. It's very sad. If you go to someone who has more knowledge about you in something, the best thing to do, shut up and listen. But you find people arguing, especially you, the children. Are you here, Catherine and Catherine? Mommy and daddy will say, this is the best way. But you are arguing. Don't argue. Because they want the best for you, and they know something you don't want. No. Yeah, you can talk and discuss and say, mommy, what about this? What about that? Like we do, isn't it? We give you the freedom to do that. We don't shut you up. I get it. But after all is said and done, when wisdom is speaking, just, especially when the Bible says this, don't fight it, I beg you. Are we here? I want everybody here to be great. And we can all become great. The gateway is humility. The path to greatness, Liji, is humility. The path to joy, the path to elevation. Bible says the greatest amongst you must become like a child. If you want to go up, humble yourself. God gives grace and favor to the humble. I pray that spirit that I am sensing, you will get the same spirit. Play my song for me. I want us to stand. Interestingly, this song came to me even before this message came to me. And so I decided to find it, and I found it. Play it very gently. It's an old, old song. So some of you who are old in the Lord knows it. It's called The Humble King. Put the lyrics there as well. Can you put the lyrics there first? And then I just read it. We're going to pray with it. I want us to pray with it. Is the lyrics on?
Here at your feet.
Do you have it?
Show me how much you love.
Oh, lean me down again here at your feet. Show me how much you love through humility.
Oh, Spirit, be the star that leads.
As we are saying a prayer, let this song be a prayer. Father, we pray. Just talk to God. Yes, Lord, pray. Talk to God to search you, try you. Give some volume on it. Just pray. I want us to pray at this time. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Teach us the path of humility. We humble ourselves. We renounce pride. We denounce pride from our lives, oh God. Yes, Lord. We want to be like you, Jesus. We want to humble ourselves.
You are the God of the broken, friend of the weak. You wash the feet of the way. Praise the ones in me. We want to be
like you. In humility, Lord.
To have the smile on me. You are the God of the humble. You are the humble King.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Do a fresh new work, Lord. Do a new work, Lord, in my heart. Do a new work, Lord, upon this church, Lord. As you're about to bring a turnaround, may we humble ourselves. May we be devoid of pride in its all forms and shapes, in its all pretense, Lord. Help us. Help us. Help us, Lord. Where we have thought ourselves better than others, self-righteousness, Lord God. Holier than thou attitudes, Lord God, where we have used our titles, our position, our beauty, our race, whatever we have used, Lord God, to feel superior to others, we denounce those things, we renounce those things. Where we have used our achievement, Lord God, to feel better than others, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, have mercy. Have mercy. Listen to me, at times even our pride makes us not to talk to certain people. We feel that I'm so high, upper middle class or whatever, that I don't talk to this person, I don't talk to that person. Can you imagine all of this? You see people in church, you think you are better than them, or you think they are something, so you just pass them. It's all pride. Even if you think the person is proud, talk to them. You be who you are in Christ, that is all. All of this, and as you examine, you allow the Holy Ghost, he will tell you all these little things. And please, when the Holy Spirit highlights them, I beg you, just repent. Say, Father, that's all that is. Not a big deal. Say, Father, I'm sorry. I didn't even know. Forgive me. And just carry on. Favor will come upon you. God gives grace, favor to the humble. Humility will make you great. It will make you great. It will make you great. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help me. I want to die in humility. I don't want my end to be pride. I want to grow more in humility. The more I go up, the more I want to go down. I've made some resolutions. I have to examine the way I treat my wife, the way I treat people in church, people that I see. I'm very, very conscious. Lord, let humility guide me. Let me have the right attitude. Help me, Father. And one scripture that helps me a lot, the Bible says, esteem others better than yourself. Esteem others better than yourself. What you are, nobody can take it away from you. If God has made you, nobody can take it away. So you don't have to pretend or be anything or get this or get that. You are who you are. Help me, Father.
Don't argue with God. Don't argue against the scriptures. May we take our seats. We'll have the communion after the service. Because of time, we need to close on time. We don't want any of this. So we're going to receive our offering. I'll pray over the communion later on. And let this communion be a communion of humility. Let it be one of consecration to God. If the ushers please can quickly come. If you need an envelope, please raise your hands. Pride is so dangerous. You can say that I give the fattest offering in church. And it gives you some sense of, it's God who has blessed you. Just be grateful you have the opportunity to give fat offerings. If you are writing out a check, make it payable to CLF Life Center. Lower me a little bit. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much that you want to bless us. You want our lives to go higher and higher. So you are teaching us some of your ways so that Satan can get to us. We pray, Lord, as we give to you today, bless your people, Lord. We humble ourselves to say that it's an honor to give offering and tithe to you. Let it be acceptable to you, Father. And Father, you also honor your word. Speak blessings and favor over your children. Open doors. Open promotion. Let next year be mighty turnarounds. Turn our captivity around. Put a new song of laughter in our mouth. Let many see and say, wow, the Lord has done great things for them. Whereof they are glad. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.